The following audio is from Cross Life Church in Tampa, Florida. We are a church that exists to help people find Christ, their place in the body, and their mission to the world. Our calling is to raise leaders and plant churches. So if you live in the Hudson area or near Wesa Chapel, you can also check us out at one of our other locations. For more information, visit us at crosslife.net.
This morning, I was drinking coffee with my lovely wife, and she said, "So, how are you feeling this morning?" And I said, "I am nervous." And she said, "Good." I'm like, "Yeah, I know, because you better be nervous when you are preaching God's word." But I'm also humble and honored to be here once again in front of you. You know, I once read this from a pastor. Listen carefully. Fundamentally, our Lord's message was himself. He did not come merely to preach a gospel. He himself is the gospel. He did not come merely to give bread. He say, "I am the bread." He did not come merely to shed light. He say, "I am the light." He did not come merely to show the door. He say, "I am the door." He did not come merely to point the way. He say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, because you are faithful. Lord, you know my heart. You know where I used to be. And you know who I am today, Lord. And it's all because of your grace and your mercy that you pour out on me, Lord. I give thanks to you, Lord, with my whole heart. And I recount all your wonderful deeds, Lord. Let you speak through me, and that I speak clearly in the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you open your Bible to 1 John 1:5, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5? And please join me standing as we read God's word. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The light was made," oh, good word here, "manifest." We're going to come back to that word later on. "And we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us." Good word there, fellowship with us. "And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." You may be seated. God be with us this morning. Amen. Last week, I touched on two truths. That Jesus Christ has always existed. He was always from the beginning. That Jesus Christ has proven who he is. These are statements which amount to evidence. They, meaning John and the other eyewitnesses, have personal contact with the one who was manifested. See, John wants us to know this. This person was no fabrication. No. There was no human imagination. There was no mythical character or ghost-like being. He was from the beginning. But he came into the stream of human life here on earth. Wow. He became a physical human reality. See, this morning, I want to touch on three other truths from these verses that we have just read. That Jesus Christ was revealed who he is, or has revealed who he is, the word of life. And that Jesus Christ came to earth for the most glorious purpose, or purposes, which is fellowship, and to give us joy, to give us joy to the fullness. That Jesus Christ preached the most wonderful message. See, on verse 1 and 2, which we read, concerning the word of light, the light was made manifest. and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. Wow, on Fridays we meet as a group in that room, and it's so, I was just sharing that with Tracy this morning. I say, wow, I'm so thankful for godly words from other mature believers. It helps me to see things that perhaps I have missed in the past. You know, this gave me two things. He manifested himself. He revealed the life to us. That's big, guys. Reveal the life to us. He identified with men, gave men the opportunity to see him. John had to make this a vivid statement about Jesus. See, the influence of the Gnostics' philosophy made it necessary for John to clearly state the truth about the nature of Jesus. He wishes to set this before his readers, the reality of Jesus' humanity, flesh. Jesus was real, deity, was really manifested in the flesh. John listened to him, saw him with his own eyes. Wow, he even handled him. And I'm not going to use the same example I used last week as the word handle, because Tracy didn't like that. Or maybe you did. See, Jesus Christ himself manifested himself, revealed the light to us. That's big. Manifested means to make visible the divine person. The Word was made visible. He came to earth. Once manifested, he was seen, and John was bearing witness to him as other believers did the same, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Verse 2 is a key verse here. It confirms and expands on the statement in verse 1, which calls attention to this person, the deity who was from the beginning. But was what? Manifested now in the flesh. Wow. He became real. Became real, tangible, human reality. This is the person John was declaring. You see, as we go through the book of 1 John, we need to understand this so we can get everything else. See, Jesus Christ was God's utterance, God's speech, God's word to men. Jesus Christ was the word of light who came to earth to show us that the very energy, force, power, and essence of life is in God. Any God alone. Don't miss this. If a person wants life, he must trust and depend upon God for life. For life exists only in God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Jesus Christ, and in Jesus Christ alone is the word of life, the word that tells men how to conquer death and to live, don't miss this, abundantly both now and eternally. Wow. The Son of God was made flesh, and he was a real person. His eyewitness spoke with him. You imagine, back in the days, just having Jesus right there, and you speaking to him? Wow. This is who John is speaking of. They touch him even after his resurrection. They ate and drank with him and watched as he ascended into heaven in a shining cloud. See, John lived with him, saw him, and testified. And the Word was made flesh and dwell among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. Here's something I want you to think about. Any interpretation of any passage, any religion, concept, or teaching that stands in contradiction to what we just read, this great truth, is error to be rejected. First takeaway, the Son of God was made flesh, and he was a real human person. See, the Son of God was made flesh, and he was a real person. Therefore, if a man wants to really live, oh, he has to put his life into the hands of God. Therefore, if a man wants to really live, life exists only in who? In God himself. God alone can give men life. God has given us his word as a guide to the path for our lives. This is the reason why we should read God's word. This is the reason why we should memorize God's word. Doesn't matter how old you are. And most importantly, I tell my kids this all the time, be obedient to God's word. There's a quote from Paul Earnhardt. It says, the whole scripture is the word of God. Listen to this. The whole scripture is the word of God. The revelation of his will, but never has the mind and nature of God been more fully and powerfully revealed than when God's own Son clothed himself in human flesh and lived among us. Wow, what a statement. What a statement. 1 John 1, 2, the light was made manifest and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. He allowed men to use all their physical senses so they could have perfect proof and never be able to question that the Son of God had come to earth. There's people that question that today, church. They question if Jesus really existed. What? Know the testimony of John. The light was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. This is a side note. The Greek word John uses to describe the manifestation of the word is the word phanero. Phanero. See, the ph is pronounced as F. See, which means to reveal, to become visible, plain, clear. It is the sense of clarity that John wants to emphasize by the use of this word. It's not just any word. It's a big word. He wants his readers to know that the decision God made, which is described as the word of life, has become vivid and clear and has been manifested impersonal to us. See, John himself and other witnesses, don't miss this, as well had experience, we were talking about this on Friday, Tracy, concrete, personal relationship with God. And now those who read these letters, his word, are assured that they too are invited to enter into fellowship with other disciples. And guess what? With the living God. That's a big wow. Actually, that's a big amen. We're going to come back to this point later because it is important for us to understand what the word fellowship means. John 3, 14 to 15 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. John 3, 36, same writer, by the way. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. John 5, 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. See, the life which the apostles proclaim is intensely a personal one. Not only has that life appeared, oh, but it is nothing less than the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to people. You know, January 31st, 2009, thank you, because that's the reason why my wife is here, because she got those dates unpacked. Something big happened in my life. That's when I gave my life to Christ. I remember walking in down the aisle, and it was over 5,000 people, but it was like God was just speaking directly to me. And I just continued to cry, but it was tears of joy. It was like He was cleaning me from inside out. See, I have a personal relationship with God, and He knows my intimate thoughts. The next truth that we see in these verses is that Jesus Christ came to earth for the greatest of purposes. Why did I say purposes? Because you have fellowship with us, and joy may be full. It may be complete. See, Jesus Christ came so that men might have fellowship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ, and with one another, church. This is the most wonderful declaration. For it means what He had mentioned, what I mentioned last week. God is not His interest on us. God is not uncaring about what happens to us. No, the opposite is true. God has revealed Himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has shown us that He deeply loves and cares for me, for you. God has shown us that He wants to fellowship with us. That's a big thing. God, the creator of the universe, wants to fellowship with me? Little old me? Here in Land O'Lakes, Florida? Wow. That's a big thing. You know, I don't have this verse, but I was reading this morning this verse in Psalm 139, verse 13. Let me just read this real quick through 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Each one of us are wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Listen to verse 15 now. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Verse 16, your eyes saw my own form body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. The Creator wants to have a relationship with me. I don't know about you. That's big. Since God Himself wants to fellowship with me, think about that for a second. Fellowship in Greek means koinonia. It's a personal experience of sharing something significant in common with others. It's the pleasure of being in a group when you see eye to eye on what really matters, like we do on Friday morning. It's having a similar values and responding with the same kind of affections to what really counts. It's what gives root, strength, and fruit to a Christian marriage. I know this is not a marriage seminary, but I'm telling you, if your marriage is not planted in the Word of God, that's the key right there. So to say you have a fellowship with the Father and His Son means that you have come to share their values. Don't miss this. God has a relationship with me. He wants to fellowship with me. So that means I need to share my values, and we share the same values. So you believe what they believe and love what they love. And so you delight to spend time together. Do you delight to spend time with other believers? And you love to include them in all that you do. You cherish the thought of spending an eternity getting to know them better. You know, I tell my kids all the time, and I joke around. I say, because, you know, kids are like, they don't want to sing loud, right? And I tell my kids, you're not singing to me. You're singing to the Lord. If you shy here on earth, what does that look like in heaven? Because that's all what we're going to be doing. We're going to be singing. So I say, thank you. See, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth to show us that we can know God personally and fellowship with Him. Become acceptable to Him. Relate to Him and talk and share with Him. Have Him walk with us throughout the day, looking after and caring for us step by step. Cast our problems upon Him. Wow. By the way, Christian's life is not easy. But He said, cast your problems on to me. Trust Him to help us in meeting our needs. Ask Him for strength to conquer the trials and temptations of life. Know that He will constantly give us life of love, joy, and peace. Know that He will deliver us from sin and death and give us eternal life. Depend upon Him for righteousness so that we can be acceptable to Him. Wow. Wow. This is the person John is writing about. First John 2:23. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Fellowship with God comes only through Jesus Christ, His Son. The big word, the second word is joy. That our joy may be what? Complete. It doesn't say half complete. Complete. See, personal example. In 2002, I had the blessings of going to Athens, Greece. But I know a lot of you thinking, man, was he a baseball player? No, I do not play baseball. Okay, I was actually working, believe it or not. But there was something interesting about going to Greece for 4 months. I wanted to learn the language. I still remember a word that they say often, which was the word, I was talking to my wife this morning, it was the word chara, C-H-A-R-A, chara. See, the word joy is used as a playfully or as an amusing way in Greek, which means chara. So you'll see people say chara. And you'll say back, chara. Very good, very good. See, that's a Greek word now. Chara. C-H-A-R-A. See, Greeks still use this word as a greeting. But this is the most interesting thing. From that word chara, the root word charis, which means grace, is developed by Paul. Wow. Charis? Charis. See, there is a sense of surprise and acceleration within the word joy, chara, and the word grace, charis, because it's the sense of a gift being given when no one is expecting it. See, joy is the gigantic secret of Christians. Sometimes we struggle to grasp the biblical view of that word joy because of the way it is defined in today's culture. See, in particular, we often, okay, say or confuse the word joy with happiness. I'm happy. Very different, by the way. Very different. See, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. I mean, we can go on and on. So if Christ is in me and I am in him, that relationship is not a sometime experience. It's an all the time experience. The Christian is always in the Lord and the Lord is always in the Christian. And that is always the reason for joy. Even if the Christian cannot rejoice in his circumstances, because there's going to be some trials and tribulations in our life, if he finds himself passing through pain, sorrow, or grief, he still can rejoice in Christ alone. See, we rejoice in the Lord, and since he never leave us or forsake us, oh, we can rejoice all the time. That is a beautiful truth, let me tell you. That is a promise that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. The final truth is that Jesus Christ preached the most wonderful message. Find in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. This sentence is bold and electrifying. See, to finish with verse 5, God is light, and there is no darkness in God. See, John tells us what he means and then tells us what he does not mean. He says, hey, if God is filled with light, well, hold on a second. That means that in him, there is no darkness. See, God is light. What does that mean? Well, it means several things. God is light by nature and character. Light is what God is within himself, within his being, essence, nature, and character. God dwells in the splendor, glory, and brilliance of light. Wherever he is, the splendor, glory, and brilliance of light shines out of his being. In fact, there is not even a need for the sun, S-U-N, when God's glory is present. The glory of his presence just beams forth the most brilliant light that you can ever, ever imagine. So brilliant and glorious that it could or it would consume human flesh. Revelation 21:23. And the city has no need of sun, S-U-N, or moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives it light, and his lamp is the lamb. Wow. Revelation 22:5. By the way, if you haven't caught this yet, we've read John, we read 1 John, we read John, we read 1 John, now we're reading Revelation. And in case you're wondering, it's the same author. There's something here, there's a connection. See, a night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. See, God is light in that he reveals the light of all things, the truth of all things. Not only he is light, this is important now. He tells us to be a light to this dark world. See, I was listening to a podcast. I think I was sharing this with the guys on Friday. From 2016, and the title, Tracy was preaching, and the title was called Call to Be Light. I think it was. You got to go back 2016. I went like a couple of years. So, but in his message, Tracy says something really cool. He say, he explained what does it mean to be the light of the world and how God shines through us. So that means that people will see who you're serving. You don't even have to say a word. They'll just see your light. You should go back and listen to that podcast because it was a powerful message. See, John announces to his readers the liberating news that God is not only the source of light, but also not the source of life, but also of light, of truth. But it's not John who has created this message about God. See, He tells us that is the message which he heard from God himself. That means Jesus was telling him that message. Wow. Jesus, the light, tells us that God is holy. We just sang that this morning. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Righteous and pure. Light is the symbol of purity and holiness. Jesus, the light, reveals. What does he reveal? His light shows clearly the nature, the meaning, and the destiny of all things. His light beam in, opens up, identifies, illuminates, and shows things as they really are. Remember when I was walking down the aisle, and man, I was just walking, and I just started crying. I'm like, why am I crying? But he was just cleaning me. The light of Jesus Christ shows the truth about the world and man and God. The light of Christ reveals that God loves and cares for men and wants men to love and care for him. He wants us to have a relationship, an intimate relationship. Not just any relationship, but an intimate relationship. Jesus, the light, guides. Well, his light allows a man to walk out of darkness. He allowed me to walk out of my darkness. I was living in dark. I was living a life of lies. And he got me out of it. Man no longer has to grope, grasp, and stumble about trying to find his way through life. He's given on his word as a guide. In conclusion, there is no darkness in God. See, the word darkness symbolizes evil and sin. Everything that life should not be and everything that a person should not do. Walking in the light means walking as Christ walked while here on earth. Seeking to imitate his life style in all that we do. Are you imitating Christ? That's the key. Are we imitating Christ? There may be darkness all around us, but the light of Christ will always be shining. See, we need to walk in that path. And you know that our guide along that path is the word of God. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Church, listen. John's affirmation is the promise that God's self-disclosure is on the side of truth. And therefore, when Jesus Christ is Lord of our life, then we see the road more clearly. But he has to become the Lord of your life. I want to finish with this last slide, which is 1 John 1:1-5. I love this passage as it's translation in the Living Bible translation. It was so cool because we're talking about it on Friday. I say, wow, what an opportunity to read this together. This translation is very clear. It says, Christ was alive when the world began. Yet I myself have seen him with my own eyes and listened to him and speak. I have touched him with my own hands. He is God's message of life. Verse 2. This one who is life from God has been shown to us, and we guarantee that we have seen him. I am speaking of Christ, who is eternal life. He was the Father and then was shown to us. Again, I say, we are telling you about what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may share the fellowship and the joys we have with the Father and with Jesus Christ, his Son. And if you do, as I say in this letter, then you too will be full of joy, and so will we. This is the message God has given to us to pass on to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Amen. Let us pray. God, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises and your truth. Knowing, Lord, that you will be with me, with us, always. You will not leave us. You will not forsake us, Lord. Lord, you are light. Let us be reminded of that. Let us be reminded, Lord, that your light shines upon us, Lord. And that we should be the light upon this dark world, Lord. Lord, just thank you for your word. I encourage everyone here, Lord, to just read your word, to meditate in your word, to allow you to be the most important thing, Lord, the Lord of their life. And God's people say, amen.